Welcome to Resounds, Arts and Culture on the High Plains. I'm Corby Skinner.
And I'm Anna Page. And we're sharing stories of creative people who live and work in the Intermountain West. Last time we came together, we focused on art forms of sculpture and dance. Today, we're discussing two unique spaces in Billings that have found new life as venues for the arts.
Art House Cinema and Pub, a former bowling alley, is now an independent movie theater. And the Pub Station, which was once a Greyhound bus depot, is now a live music venue.
What's exciting is not only are these two venues flourishing, but they're growing.
Today we have Matt Blakesley, the Executive Director of Art House Cinema and Pub, a nonprofit for all ages. It's an independent movie theater located in the heart of downtown Billings.
Oh, it's a lovely space. If you haven't had a chance to check out a film down there, I highly recommend it. First of all, you got great beer on tap, Matt.
Thanks.
And candy, popcorn.
The best popcorn around.
Agreed. You walk in, smells like coconut oil, makes me real happy.
Yeah,
it's a great space. And you guys carry this belief that great art stirs great conversations. And I love the story about how Art House was founded in conversation in a movie house reception area where you felt like you couldn't truly experience those conversations because you were being rushed out the door.
Yep. Yeah, most theaters in general have this incredible lobby that's meant to move people quickly either to their theater or out to their car. And we think that a good movie, obviously, as you said, it stirs great conversation. And it can be an awkward thing if you want to talk about this thing, you want to share it. In fact, so many of our relationships now, it revolves around the movies we're seeing, the TV shows that we're watching, the things we're experiencing online. And so why not create a space to experience it and also talk about it all in that same space so you don't have that weird, okay, what were we talking about again? That kind of thing.
It's also nice to have a conversation over a glass of wine.
Yes.
I mean, it gives you space and time to really talk about something that you've just seen or about to scene. Mm-hmm. So Matt, tell me, how do you go about selecting films for Art House?
We work really hard to bring what we consider to be only the best films that are out there. Traditionally, most weekends, there's anywhere between, 15 to 25 different films that are being released within that independent circuit that are, whether they're smaller budget, foreign films, or documentaries. So we're looking at what the critics are talking about. We're also looking at what we think would play well in Billings and stir those great conversations that are taking place. But we have a pretty high bar for ourselves that we want to bring in things that I think truly hit that target for us. As far as this is quality cinema.
You're open 7 days a week or 5 days a week? What's the schedule?
We're currently open showing films Wednesday through Sunday.
Wednesday to Sunday.
Yep. And most screenings typically happen right around 3:30 for the first show. And then we have a second show at 6 and another show at 8:30. And we're always showing two different films during the day. So we stack the films is what it's called.
And on Monday and Tuesday,
we are closed, but we actually open the theater for private events. And that's been one of the kind of great successes of Art House, to see so many different private individuals or organizations rent out the theater for their own private screening of a film or party. It's been a lot of fun to host these events and see so many people respond to those.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of really unique events come together with live music and different nonprofits having fundraisers, different foods, and all kinds of experiences and conversations.
Yeah, it really is a surprise to see how much of a utility that's become to the community.
Yeah, it's a great space to do that. And also during movie times, you have volunteers behind the bar and behind the cash register.
So in opening the theater, one of the interesting conversations that we always had was, why are you opening a movie theater? Isn't that a dying industry? And the reality is it's not dying. Particularly the independent market continues to do better and better every year. But for us, we knew to be a single screen. That was going to be the tough part. And so to be a single screen theater and be able to make what we needed to make to stay open, we knew that we'd have to be volunteer driven. But we started this thing with the hunch that it wasn't just my wife and I that believed in this, but that there were individuals that had some time and energy to put behind this space as well. And that's become true. We've got about 40 people on our list right now that are coming in, helping serve drinks, sell tickets, and clean the place before and after shows. And just an amazing group of people, some of our favorite people and best friends on planet Earth they've become.
And volunteers are usually cheaper, aren't they?
Isn't that handy? They're much cheaper. Yeah, yeah, much cheaper.
Well, Matt, you said one screen, but obviously there are plans. So tell us a little bit about what your plans are for the expansion of Art House Cinema.
So we've been so excited about the response of what we've called phase one, this single screen that seats about 80 people. But from the very beginning, that was always just a beta test for us. We knew, again, to make things work long term, we'd have to open multiple screens. And so we launched about 8 weeks ago this campaign that we call phase two. It's our desire to purchase the building that we're currently in, to open three screens, to add food to the menu, to be open showing films 7 days a week, and to have a redesigned pub space, lobby space out in front where people can have great conversations before and after films. And so it's a huge campaign. It's a huge undertaking. But we launched it, and in the first 5 weeks, we hit our target of wanting to fundraise and have pledged $50,000. So that was just just a beautiful sign of this community in Billings that cares about this space, cares about film, art, and culture, and wanting to see us bring more and more to it.
Tell a little bit of the details of the plan. Since we're on radio, talk us through what it's going to look like.
Yeah, so where we currently are located is in what's going to become the lobby pub space, and then we're going to move back. Many of you probably remember when the building that we're in, the G&W building, was Center Lanes, a bowling alley in downtown for many, many years. And we're going to move into that space that used to be where the bowling lanes were and build out three screens. One's going to be larger, that's going to seat anywhere from 120 to 180 people, and then two smaller screens that'll seat around 80 people as well. One of those smaller screening rooms, we're going to call it alternative seating, and that we haven't figured out all the plans yet, but it could be tables and chairs. It could be, love seats, those kinds of things.
It's Wait a minute, Anna, I see poetry slam.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
Get a snuggle on and listen to some poetry in that space. Yeah, multi-use opportunities.
That's what we're going for, yeah. So our hope is to really utilize every square inch of that property for our vision of what Art House Cinema Pub is.
Well, and it sounds like the front space can be evolved into more of a hangout. You have plans for expanding the menu and adding food.
Yeah, so right now we only serve, not only, but we serve beer, wine, candy, popcorn and soda, and we love everything that we have. They're all hand-picked, but we love the idea of you being able to come in and have a great panini or wrap or a flatbread pizza, something that's really unique, and enjoy that along with your beer and along with your movie.
And your Swedish fish.
And your
my
Swedish
favorite.
Fish. Maybe we'll have a Swedish fish pizza.
Ooh, I'm in.
Who knows? We'll figure it out. But yeah, just those more eclectic artisan food options. We love that. And whether it's enjoying it during the film or, again, after that film, where you can have that conversation out in our pub lobby space.
Yeah. Yeah, and walking into where you currently have the phase two wall, I was able to go and check out that space. It's expansive, and I remember bowling there. It's just wild to think that it is the carcass of an old bowling alley that can become another movie theater that we can enjoy all of these different offerings in.
As much as I enjoy popcorn, Malbec, and some dark chocolate, I am kind of a foodie. So I like the idea of maybe having something a little more nutritious before or after the film.
Yeah, we have a motto on our staff that if Corby ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. So we're working hard, sir.
Oh, funny. That's my motto, too.
Everybody likes food.
Yeah. Yes, no, that's very true. There.
I'm curious how people can get involved, how they can help. You're in the capital campaign fundraising right now.
We are a nonprofit, so all of our donations towards phase two are tax deductible. And it's just been the greatest joy, especially for me, to start out at phase one. There's just me and a really small team of people to all of a sudden move into this larger community that really wants to see this thing happen.
You are taking donations for phase two.
Yep.
But I know that my involvement with Art House started by just buying a membership card for the year. Explain how that works and what comes with that membership.
Yeah, so we have a membership program that revolves around two things. One is you know that you're supporting Art House, and two, we would love to give some great perks in return. So there's all these different levels of memberships. You can go again to our website, arthousebillings.com, and find all these different levels. But especially when you start to get to the upper level members, there's some really, really fun opportunities. We've got a student membership that even students can get discounted ticket prices and also know that they're in their small membership fee are able to support Art House as well.
Yeah, so, I really enjoy sending my students down to Art House to take in different flicks. I think it's so important to be grounded in the community and to have an opportunity to see films that might not necessarily hit their radar any other way. So thank you for bringing that, you know, to our younger citizens.
Of course.
I was so pleased to have seen Moonlight at Art House Cinema and, you know, of course, was rallying around the support for that kind of small alternative film that really you don't see at the big screen theaters.
Yeah. This place started out of that kind of, I mean, frustration is the only word I have to bring to it. So many films that were winning awards that critics were talking about that I wanted to see, I knew my friends wanted to see, that just didn't come to our local big screen. And so I thought, we got to fix this. This is not okay. And so we're fixing it. And last night was a sign of that. Moonlight won Best Picture, and it never came to the larger theater. It came to Art House, and we were so proud, and everybody at the place was going nuts for it.
What can we look forward to in the next couple of months?
Well, so if it's mid-March, we've got 20th Century Women opening at the beginning of the month that we're really excited about. Tony Erdmann, I think I'm saying that right, is a foreign film that just looks so great and funny and enjoyable. At the end of the month, we've got Patterson, which stars Adam Driver. So if you're a Star Wars fan, you can come check him out in a more dramatic, great role. That film is getting great reviews. And we also have The Red Turtle, which is a Studio Ghibli film. It's an animated film. We love those. It was nominated for an Oscar this year. And then last but not least, beginning of April, we actually have My Life as a Zucchini, which is another Oscar-nominated animated film that we can't wait to get our hands on and check that out. So our film slate right now is some of the best we've ever seen.
I just know growing up and watching the Academy Awards, you could never vote for animated shorts because no one ever saw animated shorts. No one saw the documentaries. And it's so great to have a place that's showing those kinds of films.
Yeah, to have access to the animated shorts, it's such a compressed form of storytelling, and there's so much that goes into them, and it's really fun to be able to sit in the theater and watch them all together in one place.
And what was really fun for us is this year, our attendance went, you know, skyrocketed from last year, that more and more people are finding out about these short films and coming and checking them out. We actually have some short film festivals coming later this year.
Oh, fun.
That are going to be, we can't wait. And it's so great.
How exciting. Well, this expansion couldn't come at a better time.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Matt. And for people that are interested,
arthousebillings.com.
And find your way to a movie sometime soon.
Yeah, if you haven't had a chance to catch a flick down there, go grab yourself a glass of wine or a pint and enjoy the ambience of that theater and envision what is to come in this former bowling alley turned, hopefully, Billings next three-screen theater.
Love it.
Thank you.
Thanks guys.
Matt.
Corby, how exciting to get a chance to talk about this business that has been in Billings and established and now is seeing an opportunity and a need to grow.
So we're talking about two cultural facilities, film and music, that are growing.
Yeah, there is a demand in this town, as can be seen through the pub station. They went from a 400 capacity venue to an 800 person capacity venue, built a ballroom, and now have the opportunity to bring smaller shows and really large shows to the Billings area. So I'm happy to have Ann Kosimpa and Sean Lynch, owners of the Pub Station and founders of 1111 Presents, in the studio today. Thanks for being with me, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. You both have such a long history of musical involvement in Billings. I don't even know where to start. Where would you start?
I would probably start back in high school. Me and a friend started to just get random phone calls about doing concerts in Billings, and this is when we were 16 or 17, and ended up bringing some pretty high-profile acts now. Back then, no one knew who they were, such as Green Day and The Offspring and all these other crazy unknown bands in 1989, but now they're arena bands.
Yeah.
Everybody knows of them, Grammy winners and TV shows and the whole nine. And plays, American Idiot the play, you know, so
yeah.
You got all that stuff.
Well, it reminds me of one of my first live concerts ever in Billings. It was probably 12 years or so ago, and I saw Pedro the Lion at the Rail Yard, and the bar wasn't even up yet. It was just plywood, and that was sort of the first introduction I'd had to the kind of work that you were doing. And that was when you were doing work at the Rail Yard.
Yeah, actually, that's when we owned the 11 Cafe. So the Rail Yard wasn't even there yet, and we had leased that whole space.
Oh, so next door was the 11 Cafe, which was your Indian food restaurant.
Well, it had lots of different food, but yes,
gotcha.
Indian was part of it.
And even before that, you were down in what's now Bin 119?
Yep.
Yeah, so this venue's sort of been evolving. How do you come to select a Greyhound bus depot in downtown Billings as the site for your music venue?
That's something that actually, oddly enough, we'd been looking at for years as kind of the ultimate location that we could ever have. And this time around, the process just so happened that it fell into place and it was available.
Well, Mike Matthew and Kay Foster were the ones that purchased that building to put the pub station there. So we couldn't have done it without those two. They've been really big supporters of us and Billings in general. They've been, Kay was a city council person. Mike was a county commissioner. So they've been in the scene here trying to develop Billings for a long time. So
instrumental in what's going on at the Babcock, or at least
yes,
at some point,
they're
too.
Two of the four owners of the Babcock. Mm-hmm.
You have now a dedicated house for music, whereas before it seemed like you were almost a roving entity. 1111 Presents was putting on shows all over Billings, and now you have a house for your performances.
That's correct.
Our own room, and that was the ultimate goal. We've had 1111 Presents since, 2001?
Yep.
We've worked really hard for years to get to where we are right now, and this whole situation with Mike and Kay and the Greyhound bus and all that coming together, I don't know how else to put it.
We had always said if we
fell
were
into place.
Yeah, if we were fighting it wasn't meant to be, and we had tried to put this kind of situation together prior to this and had always run into a wall, always run into something that was holding us back from the situation. But this one, we always said if it was meant to be, it would just fall into place, and every single thing in this part fell into place. The biggest challenge for us was being able to finally afford a beer and wine license, which in the Yellowstone County City of Billings is a lot of money. And 1111 Presents had shown with a track record that we were able to do volume on tickets and show a profit as just a promoter. And so the most logical step forward from there, from a bank's perspective and from ours, was to be able to take the beverage income as well. And that has greatly allowed us to bring more entertainment and different types than we would have been able to do previously, because prior to this, we were working on just ticket sales. So whatever we had sold at the door, if it didn't cover it, we took it as a loss. Now we're able to maybe bring a show in that we know is not going to do as well as some other ones because we think the community wants it, we want to see it, whatever situation that may be. And we can still take a loss on the door, but with the beverage income, it actually makes it a profitable night for us.
Yeah, so it seems like you're able to take a lot more risks for the community. And you've said before that Billings is really showing up. I know that you had plans to expand, but not necessarily within a year of opening this venue.
It was surprising. We knew that the city was going to, we felt pretty positive because we kind of had an idea of who our crowd was. But since then, our crowd is so much larger than it had been previously. I think that there was just certain venues. What you run into in Billings, and I think other places, is that you have bar owners or casino owners that have a certain way of what they want to do to make money, and the entertainment becomes just an extra part of that. Well, with us, the entertainment is the money. That's what brings it in. We don't want a casino. We don't care about a casino. We don't want liquor. We're not, not pushing that side of it. We're not a bar. We're a venue, and we've always wanted to be a dedicated venue. And that's just a different mentality than everyone else that we've had to deal with. And I'm not saying the dealings were bad or good. It's just different.
People
have a different idea of what's going to make money or what's going to make them money.
So by creating this dedicated house for music, then you're able to really focus on music. And you guys are just on the heels of a huge weekend of music. I mean, had Memphis all-country rockers Lucero directly the next day. Dawes, huge, huge band out of L.A. And then the next night, the Roots Tour, which had Max and Igor Cavalera of Sepultura and the guitarist from Soulfly. I mean, the place was buzzing. I got to see Dawes and then that Roots Tour. And what a difference in crowd crowd, in performance, in sound. And the
in
both
everything.
Nights were packed.
In everything.
Yeah. So it seems to me that there is the audience for all of these different walks of music.
There definitely is. The one crowd that we had previously never really been able to cater to is this country crowd here. And I just think that there were certain locations that we were doing events, and they just wouldn't go there. Not for any reason other than they just probably just didn't want to go there. So that crowd is something that we've really tapped into, and I think that's a hugely underserved market. The other markets we've always been catering to are just able to cater, I feel, better to those markets and with more consistency and more acts.
Mm-hmm. And these are big bands. I mean, what do you think is drawing them to Montana? If I heard the comment multiple times, this is our first time in Billings. This is our first time in Montana. We love being here.
I mean, ultimately, it's just building a scene, and people realize, oh, wow, there's something to actually stop there for other than spending the night in the Walmart parking lot or staying at a hotel or whatever. I mean, it still happens today where we're not getting some shows, and you'll see tons of buses at the Doubletree downtown, and it's just a day off when they could have played it here, and it's just still, we're still an underdeveloped market, but we're trying to make ourselves known. And, you know, by people showing up, buying tickets,
yeah.
Quite honestly, putting up the same kind of numbers that major markets are putting up in Billings, it really shows that we can do it.
I had the opportunity to tour this new venue, which has expanded from a 400-seat venue, knocked down some walls, and opened it up to a ballroom that can hold 800-plus people.
Yep.
Let's hear a little bit of that tour. Look at this space. I mean, you doubled capacity.
Doubled capacity, added a whole other set of rooms over here, another bar, better green rooms. You kind of upgraded the whole facility. So.
Yeah, I noticed the green room space. You got a shower. You got everything that a band might need.
Washer, dryer. All the essentials. So, yeah.
And that's the old Greyhound.
Part of that was driver's lounge, and part of it was just part of the bay. So, and yeah, and we have a stage that's modular, so we can do different sizes on it, so we can make it, it's a setup bigger right now. Go smaller, it can go away.
Yeah, to give a sense of the expanse of this room, you can get 800 people in here.
That's right.
And you're bringing in shows every single day, it feels like.
I'll try to. We try
to
do that.
With two stages, then you get to sort of pick, give the band the option of the size?
Right. And, you know, let's say a show is selling really great in a small room, then we have the opportunity to bring it up to a larger room. Or you can rent this out for something separate and have something else going on there. We couldn't have two music events going on, but there could be two events going on at the same time. So.
Yeah, so now you're opening up the space for public events, things
yep.
outside of
private
just
rentals. You know, anybody can come in and rent the pub station.
Right on. Yeah. Well, let's go check out the expansion around the corner, the backstage area.
Okay.
Lots of good people here tonight celebrating the opening.
I'm glad there's lots of people here.
So you sold out the first night?
We sold out the first night, and we've sold out another show since then, and we've got another show that's selling out. So it's been really good.
Yeah. What immense space. Did you kind of already see the expansion when you first started?
Well, at least we knew that we had the ability to do it from here, and we paid the lease on the whole building all the time. So we'd already been paying for the space.
Yeah. So you then turned this sort of, I guess we're standing in the old bus bay, one of them at least.
Yep, in the old bus bay, and we took part of it for bathrooms. Part of it is part of the ballroom because we split this wall. This wall, that's the southernmost wall here. I know on radio you're not going to be able to see it, but it ran through the whole building.
Yeah.
And we ended up taking that and turned there, and that's where we took the wall out and opened it up to other spaces there.
Wild. Oh my gosh, I'm so excited for this growth. It speaks so much of just our region and the kind of bands that want to come here
and
have that opportunity.
And Billings is showing up, so.
Pretty exciting that a venue of this caliber and size is in Billings. I was curious, what concerts are you excited about coming up in the next few weeks?
You know, we're lucky this week. We have a whole bunch of different things coming up this week. We have Red Fang, which is a favorite band of mine. It's kind of a sludge rock, doomy Portland-based band in the main room. We have Datsik, which is an electronic artist, in the ballroom on Tuesday. And we also have Yonder Mountain String Band for St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, fun. And Yonder and Red Fang are both returning artists. They've played here before.
That's correct.
All right. Putting Billings on the map. So for those of you who are interested, where can we find more information?
Go to thepubstation.com.
All right. And the Pub Station's on the corner of 25th and 1st Avenue North in downtown Billings.
Yeah, that's correct.
Thanks for being here, you guys.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
While I was at this recent open house at the Pub Station, where they were giving the community a preview of the newly remodeled space, I was able to talk to a few people who were in attendance. Wayne Wilcox, who is a local promoter in town, he brings a lot of different comedy shows across Billings, as well as Jessica Baldwin, who runs Billings365.com, and Leanne Yuka, who is the events director at Zoo Montana. And they had a few things to say about the newly remodeled space. Wayne, thoughts?
I think this place is absolutely horrible. And the only reason why I say that is because that means that I have to one-up my game and start bringing some comedians who can fill this spot, man. It's pretty awesome. I really like it.
Yeah, it's a big space. You think you can bring a comedian that'll pull 800 people?
Is that it? It's only an 800 people? Oh, that's it? Yeah, I can do that. All right. But no, let's say that, like, it's really awesome. Like, I walked in here, and what's amazing is that he transformed this area. It used to be a bus station, and they would have cars parked in here, and they completely did a whole entire renovation on it. It makes it look really great. So I think I see a lot of great things coming to Billings just because of what Sean Lynch and the rest of his entourage are doing. So I love it.
Well, Jessica, you are one of the heartbeats of Billings, at least reporting on it. What do you think?
I think this is amazing. Obviously, at Billings 365, we're always looking for things to do in Billings, and we love that Sean is so dedicated to bringing live music to Billings. It's an amazing venue, and I think that a venue of this size just increases our opportunities to bring big and better acts to Billings in such a great space to come to, you know, come have a beer and enjoy a great show. There's nothing better to do in town.
Yeah, and I love what you do. Thank you for always sharing good news about Billings. All right, Miss Leanne, right?
Yes.
Yes. Zoo Montana, what's going on out there?
Well, we work with Sean to have concerts outdoors at the zoo, so we're excited to see him expand here so that maybe we can do things in the future here to benefit the zoo as well.
Ah, good idea, kind of bringing that fundraising power to this newly expanded house.
Yeah, because we're kind of seasonal, so we're always looking for things off-season that we can do.
Thanks to Wayne Wilcox, Jessica Baldwin, and Leanne Yuka for sharing some of their insights on the Pub Station's newly remodeled space during their open house.
On the next Resounds, we'll hear from Shan Ray, author of American Copper, an historical novel set in Butte at the turn of the century.
And we'll also speak with Russell Rowland, author of 56 Counties, a nonfiction travelogue featuring stories from every county in the state.
You've been listening to Resounds, Arts and Culture on the High Plains, produced by Anna Page, Corby Skinner, and Ken Siebert for Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music by Alex Naumann. Hear this program anytime online at ypradio.org.